in the hell are you?
I'm John Cena.
Will you tell me, what is the one quality that you possess that makes you think that you can walk out here and come into the ring and face the very best in the business?
Ruthless aggression.
I plan on impressing Vince McMahon. And to impress McMahon, you gotta beat the man.
Yo, 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 yo!
About to prove to you the unusual things I can do to you, like take my fist and drive it right through you.
You can't erase me. I'm gonna make you taste me.
He can't see me.
Oh, you didn't get that? Let me rewind it for you.
I challenge you.
So I swear John Cena's a name you'll remember.
Words like...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? You have got to call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D-O double D.
I'm a nice man. I'm a nice man.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast radio network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan the Uneven Flow.
The multi always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mikes. This is episode 20. This is our first superstar spotlight here on Mayhem Mikes, and we're going to be talking about everybody's
John
favorite.
John Cena.
I was going to say, we're going to talk about anybody's favorite superstar, John Cena.
And
as you heard, the Peanut Gallery is here. We have Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
The Roman Reigns of this show.
Ain't that the truth? And, of course, returning from...
The Doctor of Thugonomics.
Yeah. Oh, we got Mike the Birdman Dodd. So, what was the last...
I hope your doctor wasn't the Doctor of Thugonomics, or else you have some severe health problems in your future.
I really do. I really do.
Yeah.
He just looked at me, told me I needed some more flow. It was great.
Wrap that chain around your neck.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he's like, yo, son.
Yeah, he's had some not-so-good looks over the years. What can I say?
Oh, my God. You know what surprises me going back? So, in order to research this, to be able to for us to talk about John Cena, at first, I tried searching the WWE network. Number one, WWE, fix the fucking network and have your search options better. Because, my God, it is horrible.
Full disclosure, we talked about that after recording the last show. And yeah. Told you that, yeah, I don't really... I mean, unless I know exactly what I'm searching for and I put in, you know, the exact match title... And if I can, the numbers of the exact date, because it occasionally remembers to take that into account. Anyway, if you do that, then yeah, you might be able to find what you're looking for.
Luckily.
If you don't have the exact stuff, or you put in somebody's name, oh, good Lord, good luck finding what you want.
Yeah, so hard, and I don't understand why the network programmers don't just go back and fix that particular part of the back end.
Yeah. Normally,
cool. Make their search engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like seriously. Yeah, exactly. Fucking farm that shit out to Google.
Exactly.
Or Netflix.
Yeah. Normally, when I'm searching for, honestly, outside of the pay-per-views that we've been doing for the last two and a half years, I don't really watch a lot of the network. I watch, you know, SmackDown and Raw on, you know, the day after Hulu airings and things like that, because I pay for Hulu. Why the hell, you know? Anyway, it's one of those things where when I am searching for stuff on the network, it's only, like, if I know Stone Cold has a new podcast, so I just search Stone Cold Podcast and look for the most recent one. But thankfully this time around, we found that if you go under shows, they've now added a tab called Collections. And these...
Whoa, what's this Wii stuff? I told you it was there.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Well, we, as in Ryan and I, thank you. Yes, because I asked you about it. Well, once you... you're an asshat. So they have this tab called Collections that they've started. So that's a little bit easier to work with than this.
I'm actually kind of surprised that in terms of what the network has to offer regarding John Cena's career, that there isn't more. Like, for example...
There's a lot. Like, individual... Sometimes the individual stuff on, say, SmackDown, for example, doesn't show up on your basic searches. And, I mean, the collections are just a snippet. Some of them are better than others. Like, I found the Austin collection was not particularly good. It didn't encompass a whole lot. And in a lot of ways, I mean, the Cena one misses an awful lot, too. Like, you don't get every moment or anything like that. It's just a
the Cena one. There's about 10 or 11 videos to it. It starts out with a little bit before his WWE debut. The WWE
when he was in Ohio Valley, right?
Right, right. When he was in Ohio Valley, and then because back then he was called the Prototype, of all things. And they start out with the WWE stuff. They start out with, you know, the debut against Kurt and, you know, Ruthless Aggression and all that and everything else. And it basically goes from the debut with Kurt up to his feud with his first feud with JBL in 2003, 2005. So
during the SmackDown era.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, guys, he's done a hell of a lot more. You could add a hell of a lot more to this collection. And now, again, because Ryan pointed it out to me, this is the first time I've really noticed the collections, so I haven't really gone through any of the other ones. If Stone Cold's is as bad as you say it is, oh my God, that's just a disservice.
Well,
I mean,
think the Cena one's good, half decent, just because it's a little snippet sort of thing. The Stone Cold one, I just find it skips over a lot of fairly important things in his career. The Cena one's a little better at summing it up. It's certainly not perfect, but some of the collections are better than others.
I think what I wanted from the Cena thing is they always have those beyond the rings. They have one that's it's called the John Cena Experience.
Yeah.
And it's basically like 2 hours of a week in the life of John Cena just before WrestleMania, like 20-something. The one where he fought The Rock. No, it was the one in Arizona. So it wasn't the New York one. But either way.
Well, he fought The Rock in 27 and 29, right? Or was it 28 or 29?
And I wanted something a little more akin to My Name is Paul Heyman, where it was a really in-depth documentary, or Have a Nice Day, the Mankind one. But I guess it'll have to wait until Cena's career is over before we get that kind of an in-depth documentary.
Yeah. We see the advertisements for these all the time. I saw the one for Jerry the King Lawler, obviously, this was like a year or so ago, that they come out on DVD, but are those actually on the network? Will they ever be on the network? Okay.
Yeah, that's how I watch
some. Yeah, some are, some aren't.
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends on the wrestler, and in terms of doing behind the scenes stuff, I don't know if they'll ever do a whole lot with Cena. He's always tried to keep that part of his life out of the spotlight. In particular, you know, I remember a lot of people talking about the first few seasons when he was on Total Divas or whatever the hell it was back then. Anyway, I remember people saying, you know, how uncomfortable he is with it, and he's not a big fan of any of it being
and
out there.
And yet he is front and center with Total Bellas.
Yeah, I mean, he's changed since then, but I also think he knows that's sort of a requirement at this point.
Well, and, plus he can control what gets shown somewhat.
Yeah, and also, to be blunt, I mean, he's not out there as much anymore in terms of the wrestling.
Yeah, his career is over the Hollywood stuff now.
Yeah, his career is kind of, it's on the down, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, 15 years in WWE alone, not counting his OVW days or anything before that, but I mean, 15 years with the company, that's a pretty lengthy career, and he's had a lot of great matches.
Well, straight into it, I mean, one of the things is he has not had many, if any, I can only think of like maybe one or two bad pay-per-view matches in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's always been consistently great and put on great matches. And, you know, some people always try to say, he's had great opponents. Well,
no, he hasn't.
Really? Yeah, no, he hasn't. He came in really at the right time. I mean, nobody would have predicted the problems Angle would have. You had
Mr. Hall of Fame as of this year.
Yeah, but well deserved. But I mean, he had quite a few demons.
Yeah,
and obviously, so did Eddie Guerrero. Nobody would have predicted his passing early on.
Mm.
Chris Benoit, less said about him, the better.
I know, that was the funniest thing. One of the clips I grabbed was...
I don't think I'd ever put his name in funny in the same sentence anymore.
Well,
I'm
saying that when I was watching through some of this stuff, I think it was... at one of the other pay-per-views, it wasn't wrestling. It was one of the other collection episodes. It was not the Kurt Angle debut thing. It was another one where John had come out and Michael Cole and Taz are like, what's he doing here? He's not supposed to be here. We have a match between Jericho and Benoit later. And I had to actually rewind that. And I'm like, did they really say what I think they just said? Because it's been, you know...
All this stuff is still on the network. Anyway, he came in at the right time because those are three guys that just were not there very soon after. Now, there were other stars that developed over that time, Edge being one who came out of the Attitude Era. JBL, you know, came out of the Attitude Era just as a completely different character. Rey Mysterio really kind of took off, particularly after Eddie's death, et cetera, et cetera. And you still had some of the old-timers, you know, Undertaker's still kicking around. Michaels was sort of there. He was kind of in and out with a number of back issues and questions about his future. But Cena didn't have a whole lot to work with in a lot of those early days. There was kind of a finite number of good wrestlers, and there was a lot of bad characters and that kind of thing. So
character development 15 years ago was not what it is today. And well, I mean, there are some bad character developments even today, but they're not as bad as some of the ones from 15 years ago.
Well, one of the advantages Cena had, though, coming out of that time, is he had such personal charisma where he could rise above what was being written for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was more freedom back then, too, period.
Yeah. Because like you could see it in like his like in-ring kind of work in like his promos, he could have fun, and you can still see that today. A crowd may boo him, but he flashes that smile, and he knows how to play to that crowd.
Mm.
I can't think of many other superstars that can do that.
Ryan, before you go on more of the history, really quickly, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks, over the last month and a half. Between him and AJ and him and Miz are probably two of the best promos that I've seen John do in a very long time outside of his rapping days when he used to do the raps, because like you said, Mike, he can pretty much, you know, shoot
any... He reads a crowd and he knows.
Yeah. Exactly. And I love those two feuds and the way that they You know, because the Miz one, if you saw it, John, you know, Miz came out and, John, you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, John, come on out, because they're setting up this whole Miz Maurice, John, Nikki thing for Mania.
Cut his mic. You don't get to talk until I say you talk. This is a special edition of Miz TV. See, I have 10 years of frustration to get off my chest because you have cost me so many opportunities. Oh, and you smile. You smile, and if that microphone was on, you'd say my arrogance cost me those opportunities. But let's be honest, John. Your word to the bosses, to the higher-ups, is gospel here. You're at the top of the mountain in the WWE, and it's not because you're good. It's because you manipulate every single person that comes in your way. Let me explain this. Let me make it more clear. You ever been in a job and you wonder, how does this guy get to be where he is? And then you watch him and he talks to the right people, makes the right connections, he smiles at the right time. And then there I am, working 10 times as hard, 10 times more talented, and trying to do all I can, and all I become is the other guy.
You got no idea who you are. You're a dude dressed up as a dude playing another dude. You ask any one of the greats. You ask HBK, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, Triple H, The Rock. Hell, you ask me. All different paths to success. They'll all tell you the same damn thing. They're 2 feet stepping into the ring, and they are just themselves with the volume as high as it can go. And that's why they believe you are in a large group of folks that feel you can't get so far in this company until you get held down because you're nothing more than a trend-hopping, joke-stealing, unoriginal shell of a WWE superstar. And if you for 1 second think I'm mad about what you did to me, me and you, we've been knocked down the same amount of times. Difference between me and you, you blame everybody else. I act like a man, stand up, and keep fighting.
You know, Miz comes out and says, oh no, you don't get to talk, I'm going to talk. So you got, you know, the Miz going on for 10 minutes or however the hell long it was, and then you have John responding, and it was just so damn good. I absolutely loved it. Sorry,
well, those are examples of really good opponents in those cases, at least, just because, you know, AJ's in a dead heat with Jericho now for best past year plus in the company, period, and everybody knows Miz can talk. But, I mean, you know, again, like, people, the knock on Cena is about some of his matches. Well, he's been wrestling, he debuted back in 2002, so it's 15 years ago. And granted, his televised matches, not his pay-per-view matches, very much in the later years, basically up until he kind of reinvented himself during the U.S. Open Challenge, which U.S. title Open Challenge, which was really, really good.
Yeah.
But for a long stretch, his matches were very similar, and it was...
it's not became, that they were bad, they're just predictable.
I'd argue that because of that too, and because, you know, his very small move set, they were kind of bad. But having said that, alternatively, we're talking about him 15 years later, and he's still active. So as much as I love guys like Daniel Bryan or CM Punk or even Edge, who could put on, you know, great matches every single time they went out, whether it was just a Raw taping, or a live Raw, or a pay-per-view, look what's happened to those three guys. I mean, they're all retired in one way or another. And Edge and Daniel Bryan with, quite serious injuries. So there's something to be said for his ability to preserve his body and still put on the great pay-per-view matches. In the long run, I've learned to kind of appreciate that. I don't have an issue with him, to a certain extent, saving himself for the pay-per-views now, because for a long time, that was the bread and butter of the company.
You know, you mentioned people like CM Punk, and when I interviewed Mike Quackenbush from Chikara Pro Wrestling, he said, "Oh yeah, we worked with CM Punk." I said, "Would you like to talk about that at all?" He goes, "No, not really." And there was like 5 seconds of dead silence. I asked the guy after we were done. I said, "Do you want me to edit that?" And he goes, "No, don't. It'll pretty much give you a clear idea of how I feel about CM Punk." Like, okay.
Hey, great performer though.
Oh yeah.
And trust me, there's a lot of people with problems with Cena over the years.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. In one of these, I think it was the debut match. It's where Cena goes back in the back and Taker comes out, because this is back in the days of the big evil persona for Taker. This is not necessarily American Badass, but it wasn't the traditional Undertaker character. And just seeing a younger Undertaker with a really young Cena, that's just awesome and weird and cool.
It was a little later. I mean, they gave him one hell of a early series of matches. So, I mean, he debuts in 2002, June 27th on SmackDown. And he debuted against Kurt Angle. And he wins basically just by the fact that, Angle's really experienced at wrestling, particularly sort of the amateur style. And, they gave the sequence where he gets congratulated. And after that, I mean, they put him straight into a feud with Jericho. And Jericho sort of famously told McMahon, "You need to let him win because there's something there." So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Some of this, like the WrestleManias with The Rock, those were great, because I love it when they put stuff in with John that we had not seen before. And I don't really, John versus Randy has always been a thing. I mean, it really always has, ever since right after John's debut. Right before John's debut, because that happened in OVW.
And now Randy Orton is hung there over the top turnbuckle like yesterday's dirty laundry. Just give me something, something I can use. People love it when you lose. They love dirty laundry.
But it's one of those things where seeing John doing things or facing people you didn't think we would see him face was just always so awesome to me.
One of the worst things I've seen with Cena, though, and it sucks because I think this should have been so much better, was, do you guys remember when there was the feud between him and Bray Wyatt? I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. That, them on the mic was great. But do you remember when the ref interfered at one point? I think it was during a pay-per-view, maybe it was a Raw, where he was going to hit Bray Wyatt with a chair. And someone from the, or I think the ref said, "John, think of your legacy." That feud should have been, I don't know. I had so many problems with that feud because I wanted it to be so much cooler because I'm such a Bray Wyatt fan.
Yeah.
And John Cena, I think, should have elevated that a little bit higher. But then I remember, I think it was Elimination Chamber, they started throwing each other through the crowd, and I want to say they went through like a table, or not a table, like they got all the electronics crap. And
I think you might mean, or you might be talking about the Last Man Standing match at
Maybe Payback. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
That was at Payback, where Cena buries him under all the cases and stuff to win. Well, I mean, let's be all right. The other sort of negative, and then after that, I just want to talk about positive stuff. The other sort of negative with Cena was, the unintentional or intentional burying guys. So the Wyatt family was a great example. Now, to be fair, Cena wasn't the only guy that kicked the crap out of the entire Wyatt family. Pretty much everybody did. Mm. They had The Rock do it at a WrestleMania, which
made no sense.
Yeah, Rock had talked about what a big fan he was of Bray. Well, yeah, that's great. What a great rub, then, to go out and beat up three guys. The most infamous one, of course, was 2002 to 2011. I've mentioned it a few times, but yeah. I mean, Cena was feuding with the Nexus and buried the entire group in probably, one of the worst examples of how to finish a match where Cena, competed. That was the 2011 Royal Rumble, and Cena eliminated almost everybody. At one point, it was 3-on-1.
Yeah.
Really?
It was 3-on-1, and they had given Cena a DDT on the concrete on the outside. And Cena came back and beat all three of them. And that basically destroyed the Nexus because nobody was going to take them seriously after that. And famously, both Edge and Chris Jericho say that each of them came to him at different points and essentially begged him to have the Nexus win because this was going to destroy them. And no, they went to...
Was this before? This is right before he actually joined them, right? Or was that after? This was after that, right?
This was the end of the Nexus angle. This was 2011.
Okay,
he was also feuding with Punk at the same time, which, by the way, to me kind of makes it even worse that you got CM Punk beating on him, weekly, and he still had to fight the Nexus and still win. Like, that was not good. But I mean, a lot of that, we'll never know exactly what was, Cena's choice and Vince McMahon's choice. The only other sort of negative, I would say, and this is both negative and positive about him, is he never changed much. And for some people, I think that's a positive. But I look at a guy like Jericho, who has changed so many times, yet is still, the same human being, at least. And I sometimes wonder what would have happened if Cena had ever been given the opportunity to play the bad guy or to kind of step out of what we know.
Well, I mean, technically, he started out as the bad guy and then became the hero. Because, the Thuganomics thing, he was pretty much a heel back then because he was doing all kinds of heelish antics in the early days, and then
supposed to occur, to a certain extent. I mean, the major thing he did, really the only heel thing he ever did, though, like absolutely heel, was turning on his tag partner, which was Billy Kidman way back then.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that they've had him as the face of the company for so long. I don't care what AJ says. I don't care what anybody else says. When you think of WWE and you think of someone from there that is in the spotlight all the time doing the... And I know the other guys do it as well. And Ryan, you pointed this out last episode that if it's a heel character, they're not going to point out the charity work for the heel because then it would ruin what's on the show. But I'm saying that, John, because he is that hero character, because he has... you're right. Technically, he does have the same moveset he's had for the last 15 years. The only difference in one of his moves is they changed the name of it from the FU to the AA. I mean, there's really no difference in the actual wrestling move, and the same thing for the STFU.
Well, he's gotten a little better at applying it, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
That is not one of his skills.
Is the submission moves, yeah.
No, but still, I said it before, like, he doesn't get enough credit for the good stuff he's done and all the good matches and everything else. People just kind
of
want to move away from that.
Well, one of the things that I love about Cena is no matter what, I mean, even in his bad matches, you can see he's putting the effort in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, there's something about that guy. He doesn't quit. And that's what I genuinely love about John Cena.
Well, never give up was always part of the character, too. So.
Yeah, like, it's just something about this guy. He lives it, he breathes it. And I think, I want to say there was something about, or there's something about Stone Cold. I think he says in his documentary something about John Cena, him and John have the same thing where they live and breathe this. And it's something that shows in almost all their work, even when it's not their best, they never give up. And I don't know, there's something about John Cena that I think he'll be one of the most memorable wrestlers of all time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think of wrestling now, yeah, everyone thinks of, when you think of 80s wrestling, you think of Hulk Hogan.
Roddy Piper.
Piper. You think of 90s wrestling, you think of The Rock, Stone Cold. You think of anything post-2000, it's all John Cena. Yeah. And even nowadays, like, the like literally John Cena is a superhero, which is ridiculous. Like, you think of WWE, that's the first wrestler who comes to your mind, subconsciously. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on cereal boxes, he's fought alongside Scooby-Doo.
He's on Saturday Night Live twice. He's on
Saturday Night Live. He's been in movies.
Yeah.
Countless toys. And I also found out he's been the Grand Marshal for countless parades. He's the number one wish granter for Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, he's wrestling Jesus Christ. And there's something about that guy, even watching him on Total Bellas and Total Divas, mm-hmm. that's genuinely likable. I can't think of a wrestler this likable in years outside of Daniel Bryan, where this guy genuinely seems like if you meet him, he will be absolutely 100% your friend for that interaction that you're getting with them. And that's something a lot of wrestlers don't throw off, because I've been to a couple of WWE house shows. Some wrestlers throw off that air, that energy, that's, I don't know, just the energy around them. John Cena, you could be sitting up at the rafters and you can still feel that off him. And like I said, I know it sounds like I'm riding John here all little bit, but I don't know. There's just something about this guy that I can't help not liking.
That's because he is a very likable guy. Like Ryan said, there's been maybe one or two times in the early days. Now, if you were saying, and of course, this is before the Cena personality was cultivated, like, if you were going to look at his OVW days and some of the stuff he did there, I could see why people might not like him, but that was before the John Cena character was established. And once it was established, even in the early days of the raps, everybody loved that stuff. Everybody, because again, it's one of those things where this is a guy who is going to eventually turn into doing stuff for WWE that's going to make that company look really good. But he started out, I almost want to say he started out with what Dean is doing now, with the whole antics and the whole kind of anti thing, but it's not, he's not a full heel. He's kind of like straddling the fence between a face and a heel, and then they eventually turned him into a face, and he's been a face for the last 15 years or so, and it's one of those things where they're never going to change his character, because it'll basically make their stock plummet so fast.
Well, once this...
John Cena train's coming through. Oh,
that's right.
Once merchandise sales get affected, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's the most consistent seller of all their merch. They're never going to turn him into a bad guy.
No.
As much as us as fans would like to see that, it'll never happen.
And I wonder if it's something he would want to do, too. I mean, that's the other thing I've always wondered is, for him, would it be kind of fun to step outside that? And, but having said that, again, like, part of what made him and has given him this legacy is the time frame in which he came along. There weren't a lot of really strong faces during that era. And I also think we probably won't see anybody like that again, even if there are guys with that sort of charismatic ability, just because I look at Roman Reigns a lot, and Roman is But Roman is very much meant to be the next Cena. I think we all know that. And there's already reports that they're planning his next big moment and that Vince wants him to be the next Cena, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the fans right now are less willing to accept that just because people don't want the kind of Hulk Hogan wins every match kind of the same way character now. And I mean, the other half of that, honestly, is the fact that Cena is much more charismatic than Reigns at this point in his career. No offense to Roman, but
I think the closest they had was Daniel Bryan in terms of everybody loving the guy.
Yeah, and Bryan tapped into the Cena ability to connect with a crowd, but didn't necessarily have the ability to talk to them and that kind of thing. And obviously, yeah, he didn't have the ability to turn himself down and kind of save himself for matches and the like. So, I mean, yeah, there have been elements of Cena since then, but there's never been a
complete
Cena. I would argue if they ever just let him go off the reins finally. No, not Roman.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
The one that comes to mind is if they just let him do his thing, I think Owens has the potential to eventually at least come close because he's got a charisma about him and he connects with the audience. On the opposite side of that, he's really good at being a jerk. I mean, we're seeing that with he and Jericho.
Yeah, he's him and Jericho are the two biggest jerks in WWE in the last 20 years.
I could see him being as memorable as Macho Man.
Oh yeah,
in terms of ridiculousness.
I just don't know that we'll ever see another Cena again. And I'm not talking about the records. As much as I hate to say it, I don't think Cena's inevitable record for world title reigns is going to stay. Because you look at the belts now, and holy cow, do they get moved around a lot?
It kind of way more than they used to. Of WCW, where they were changing.
Yeah, I mean, remember when Punk had it for a year, and then he and Cena would feud, and Cena won the after Punk left, got the second sort of world title at one point too. But I mean, the days of one guy holding a belt for a long time just seemed to be gone. So
yeah, you're lucky if you hold it for more than 4 months.
And I think that's the other thing that Cena benefited from. When they brought part-timers back, they didn't always just automatically throw the belt on them, which is what's happening now. But I just worry, I can't see, and one of the other things I like about Cena is I have this feeling that when he becomes that kind of part-timer, he's going to remember how he felt. You know, people talk about, you mentioned his feud with The Rock. A lot of the stuff from Cena came from the heart, his anger at The Rock for leaving and, you know, coming back and just instantly being a big star again. So I don't think Cena is going to try to do that. I think he remembers how he felt. And that's another thing about him is that, A, you know, during that he was being very genuine, which is a great way to connect to the audience. And then B, he's got a lot of it. He's clearly has a lot of integrity. And again, I think that's another great way for him to connect with the audience. So there's just all these things that have come together for him. And you can, you know, talk about, say what you will about the mixed reaction, but at least people are reacting. It would be one thing if everybody is quiet for you. If you're Titus O'Neil and nobody's making any noise, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if people care and people are making the noise, then that's a good thing. Now, on the opposite side of that, by the way, if everyone is booing and you're getting X-Pac-level hatred like Reigns or something, that's not so good. But anyway, like if people genuinely are booing you because they don't want to see you, that's not good either. But, you know, I don't think Cena ever had that.
And Cena doesn't even care about the negative stuff. At least nowadays he doesn't care about the negative stuff. As long as they make noise, that's all he cares about.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's how wrestlers should view it, because that's the important thing. I mean, so many guys who came before, after, and during Cena's time have said that exact same thing. If they're reacting, it means they care enough to make noise, and that's a good sign. Again, for the most part.
Yeah,
if the entire stadium is telling you to go away, that's not good.
Yeah, no. And I'm hoping Roman does not get to that level. But they boo the guy every single time. He's not the worst wrestler that they have right now.
No, and the thing with he and Cena is, though, they're not the best wrestlers there at their time. Mm-hmm. At least right now. I think you can make a point that Styles right now is ahead of Cena, for example. And he's definitely ahead of Roman. Yeah. And I think there's a subsection of fans that see not so much Cena, because at this point his legacy and what he's done for the business speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at somebody like Roman who doesn't have that to fall back on, and people feel like he hasn't earned the gigantic push he's getting. You get somebody like Cesaro, who's been there forever, it seems like, has done every single thing they've asked of him, has excelled at it, has had to do some really stupid stuff, and never gets a thing for it.
Mm.
You know, in walks Roman Reigns, and because he looks pretty, he wins a Royal Rumble, a title shot, and everything else before, you know, clearly before he's ready to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, I think, hurts the fans. Cena was never at that, and people who say that, I think it's revisionist history. I mean, yes, okay, fine, you know, Kurt Angle could probably make me look pretty good, but for a debut match, is really good. And the fact that right after that, he was paired up with Billy Kidman, for example. Kidman's a guy who's gone on to train and just still does stuff on the road for WWE.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not... They wouldn't put him with these guys if he was a scrub. He was already quite capable, only a few years into his career. And that is absolutely incredible. It's another thing he doesn't get credit for is how quickly he kind of grasps things. And... say what you want about the matches later on being repetitive, but man, like watching those that U.S. title run where he would have the open challenge and guys like Sami Zayn or even Zack Ryder, Owens actually, all those guys came out.
Yeah,
and he would have great matches with these guys who he probably is just meeting or working with for the first time ever.
Yeah, that U.S. Open Challenge run, that was awesome. Yeah, I absolutely love that. I wish they would... That's one thing about Raw and SmackDown, and they're starting to do it a little bit more now. Like, I'm in the middle... As of this recording, this will be going up Monday, you know, whatever, you know, this coming Monday. As of this recording, I just am in the middle of this past week's SmackDown, and it's American Alpha versus the Usos for the tag belts on SmackDown. And... that's one thing that Raw and SmackDown, at least before the brand split, that I've found lacking. That I've been watching WWE consistently since 2007, since WrestleMania 23. And I've missed a couple of shows when they used to be on actual television. I mean, well, they're still on actual television, but when they used to be on, like, UPN or whatever that, you know. But it's one of those things where I've never normally not missed anything, but I, half the time... before the brand split, I felt that the shows just lacked in the championship stuff because there was, look, I get it. They want the records. They want to be able to have, you know, a person go X number of days. But when you have 4 weeks of two different shows, you want to see each show's championships kind of change hands at least within a couple of months. I don't know. It's just the way I feel about it.
I don't think you need the belt to change hands. I think what Cena had and what was smart, though, is weekly it was something different. And the opponents were allowed to look good against him. Like, each of those matches, it felt like somebody could beat him. And, of course, Owens eventually did. But it always felt like there was the chance of him being defeated. Well... the other neat part of that, again, was it was something different and someone different every week, so the matches all felt different, and that's another problem. I mean, since the split, you really quite often see the same matches week to week. It's always the same people fighting each other. You know, how often... there was a period of time where I swear the only opponent Sheamus had was Randy Orton, for example, a period yeah. of like a year. And that was well before the split, by the way. But since the split, it's still happening. And, you know, listen, I love Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I love seeing them fight each other. But my God, how many matches have they had? And I mean, since this supposed blow-off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, for Cena's career, that's something, too, that I think fans have latched onto. For example, is the number of times he fought somebody like Orton. You mentioned it before. And they're all solid matches, but there's only so many times you want to see the same two guys fight. And that's not and that's not Randy Orton, nor is it John Cena's fault. I mean, they're told to go out there and wrestle who they're told to go out there and wrestle. So
it's WWE creative and then all that.
Not having enough of an idea what to do with guys. So I really feel like a lot of the criticism Cena gets is unfair.
I think at this point in Cena's career, well, before I say that, at this point with the Cena Orton thing, it's been how long since that really happened? Because Randy's been on his own path the last 4 or 5 years, so has John. And they haven't really done it in a while. Like, I don't seriously cannot...
Both of them, too.
Well, right, obviously. But I seriously cannot remember the last time I saw a Raw or SmackDown, because they've been on both. Obviously, they kind of came up on SmackDown, but it's one of those things where I do not remember either show in the last at least 4 years showing John or Randy facing each other. So if it is the thing of... that they're eventually going to have Randy with the belt and then John go after it for the record. Because, you know, you and I were talking about this last episode. We thought that John was going to be breaking the record at WrestleMania this year. But then they throw in this whole mixed couples tag match crap because he got eliminated at Royal Rumble because he didn't win. And I'm like, well, what are they going to do? Are they going to wait until next WrestleMania to have him break the record? That seems a long time to go.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about, in terms of timing for the guy, you know, how much does he have left? And is the fact that he's going to be appearing down the card against Miz, and again, no disrespect meant to anybody in that match, but, you know, it's not going to be the final match on the card. Well, is that a sign that they think his days of kind of headlining are towards an end? It just seems odd to me. I feel like, first of all, if they were going to do an Undertaker send-off, for the love of God, you know, it's got to be somebody like Cena or an up-and-comer.
Yeah.
Reigns, to me, doesn't work because if Reigns were to win or come off well, all that does is get more people to vocally hate him.
Yep.
If it's somebody like a Strowman, then all that, you know, that helps somebody like Braun Strowman. And then if it's somebody like Cena, it's just an exclamation point on everyone's legacy, be it Cena or Undertaker's.
Yeah.
So something like that. So, I mean, why not do that? And yeah, the obvious one is why not do the title at this point? I mean, Cena and Styles have put on phenomenal match after phenomenal match. I don't think, even though I just said, you know, you can only watch somebody wrestle another guy, the same person, so many times, I don't think that feud was out of gas.
No, it wasn't.
Put on something boring.
No, so I think that was another option for them, and I think this is kind of weird. You know, I think we all feel like he's going to break the record. I think that's clear, and I think he should break the record. And I think in terms of, you mentioned it earlier, when you think pro wrestling and WWE, the three names that come to mind, I think, for everyone, I think the top three are Hogan, Austin, and Cena. And I think Michaels and The Undertaker are right up there, but I think they're just slightly behind.
Yeah.
Again, no disrespect to either. And, it, you know, maybe Hart as well, too, is well known, but...
Yeah. The thing with Cena, so going back to this collections thing, or watching the early OVW stuff that I saw, one of them was the match against David Flair, Ric Flair's son. What I would love before Cena retires, and they could do this if they... I know Flair is, I think, currently in TNA or some other offshoot or other wrestling promotion at this point. But what I would absolutely love, and I think would be a full circle to Cena's career, is for, since it technically is Ric Flair's record that he's trying to beat, trying to break, if he breaks it against, let's say, Undertaker, like you're saying, Ryan, and he beats Undertaker and he gets the... First of all, I don't know how they're going to get the belt on the Undertaker in the first place. But anyway, that's a whole other situation.
There are ways around it.
I know.
They literally just threw a belt on Goldberg.
I know. I mean, I'm sure. But that's a whole other conversation. But what I'm saying is, let's say the Undertaker has the SmackDown WWE, whatever it's called now, championship, and it's Taker versus Cena, and the aftermath of that, if they're going to really cap off John's career in ring, have David Flair come back for a match with Cena, because that would be full fucking circle to me. It really would.
Oh wait, never mind.
What?
I got my Flair kids mixed up. David is still around, but he stopped wrestling quite some time ago.
Yeah.
And essentially left the business under, you know, because of all the pressure.
Yeah.
He still kind of does a bit of independent stuff, but it's very rare.
But then, I'm gonna fight Charlotte, but
The last time he was in a match was 2008, so.
Okay, well.
That's a lot of ring rust.
Yeah, and I understand
they
did
bring Shane back.
They brought Shane back. They brought Goldberg back. I mean, if they can shove off their ring rust, I'm sure. And I'm not talking David Flair come back for another championship. I'm saying one match to do John's career full circle. That's all I'm saying.
To be blunt, wouldn't the more obvious one for that be somebody who is coming back to a WWE ring?
Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle, who is signed and is coming back to wrestle. I think, you know, that would be a great swan song for both of them. Because say what you want about Angle. I mean, his career was cut short due to his drug problems, or at least his WWE career. He had amazing match after amazing match in TNA, but, you know, the exposure is obviously not there.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be a good cap off. Like, there's a number of really good cap offs, and there are still matches left I want to see Cena in. I would be really curious to see, for example, Cena and Reigns.
Yeah, that would be cool.
The audience reaction.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh man, who do we root for? We only saw it a brief time during that whole triple threat thing, but I kind of want to see another match with John and Dean. I think that would be a fun match.
He and Ambrose, I think, could put on. I'd like to see him and Owens again. Mm-hmm. We never really got a long, sustained Jericho Cena program.
That would be a good swan song too.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Cena. We're talking about him as if we're talking about near the end of his career.
Yeah.
But there's still things I would like to see him do. Mm-hmm. And again, for all the I've given him a lot of shit on this show and other ones. But alternatively, you know, the fact that I can still come up with things I'd like to see him do, you know, that's another thing that's really impressive. How many guys who have been around for 15 years can I still come up with decent match ideas for, or match ideas that I'd still like to see?
I would love to see Cena Stone Cold. I know Stone Cold will never do it because of his age and all that, but that would be an awesome match now, I think. Mike, are you alive over there?
Yeah, I want to see John Cena in more movies, actually.
That's something we haven't talked about. So he's done a fair number of movies, and probably his most well-known was the turn in Trainwreck recently. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I want to pick two absolute piece of garbage films that no human should ever watch that he was in. But he was amazing in them. And it's the two Fred movies where he plays Fred's imaginary father.
It's actually three. But yeah.
Was he in all three of them? I wasn't sure if he was in all three or not.
Yeah.
Sorry. Shit. Anyway, yeah, I remember two of them. Listen, if you think I'm ever going to sit through a third one of those for any reason, because they're god-awful, but he's outstanding in them.
Yeah, Fred the movie, Fred 2, Night of the Living Fred, and then Fred 3, Camp Fred.
Okay, I didn't even remember there was a third one.
God. Oh, God.
That was 2012.
Oh, they might be worse than the goddamn Transformers movie. Anyway.
Wow!
Yeah, those are terrible. So anyway... No, he's been in a number of different films, and yeah, he has amazing comedic timing, much like The Rock. I don't know... We haven't seen him do a lot of things that are not comedy. I don't know if he's got the ability to do flat-out action. Obviously, there was The Marine in 12 Rounds, which...
Yeah.
You know...
Alright, let me say this.
I don't think he's the issue with those, just like I don't think he's the issue with the Fred movies, obviously.
Obviously. We do have him coming up in something this year. We actually have two things, but you're saying more serious things. Apparently on May 12th, they're going to release The Wall, which is a war film directed by Doug Liman. But it's listed as, starring... Aaron Taylor Johnson and John Cena, produced by Amazon Studios, scheduled to be released, as I said, May of this year.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, and that's an interesting one, because, of course, I mean, Amazon is trying to get...
Push it up?
Yeah, basically, but I mean, they're still trying to kind of get off the ground. They've got some good content there, certainly, but I mean, they're trying to... do the same sort of thing and create their own work. So yeah, that one will be interesting. I mean, his co-star is probably best known for either being Quicksilver in Age of Ultron, where we learned that that's not how you should catch bullets when you're really fast, and B, he's well known for being Kick-Ass. / the main character in that film. Those are probably the ones he's best known for, but he's been in quite a few different other things. He was in Anna Karina and others. So anyway, it's not like he's paired up with a scrub on it. I'm hoping this means that they're putting quite a bit into it, and that's why I brought up the fact that Amazon's trying to kind of build themselves from the ground up.
Did you say Quicksilver as in the X-Men?
No, I said Quicksilver is in Age of Ultron.
It was Winter Soldier. Oh, okay. He was in both Winter Soldier and Age of Ultron.
At the end, there's a clip. Now, having said that, I mean, the director is excellent, doing some of the Bourne films.
Yeah.
And working on Edge of Tomorrow, which is a terrific film. So, we'll see.
For me, with Cena's filmography, I love the comedic stuff on some of it. Like, The Reunion was just... I thought that was just hilarious. Because it's a comedy action movie at the same time. Which I thought it was great. The Marine I enjoyed because he lets a little bit of the comedy come out. But again, as we said, The Marine is a fairly serious film. I love 12 Rounds. I never saw the sequel. I saw the third one with Dean, but the first one, I loved that. Because I love seeing John do movies like that. So.
You know, there's one piece of casting I'd like to see John Cena do. And I mentioned this years ago on a Geekcast show.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see John Cena play Venom. From Spider-Man, and here's why.
He'd be a good Eddie Brock.
Yeah, he'd be a fantastic. He's got the look. He looks like Eddie Brock. And just to see him get into more mainstreams, I mean, if he looks like a superhero, let's give him a shot.
I'm not settling for an inch. I'm taking a foot, and I'm putting it in your ass.
The champ's a little tense tonight. The champ is complaining that he doesn't get any respect. You are complaining because the world doesn't know how phenomenal AJ Styles really is. You're upset about a poster? You're upset about a morning show? What, somebody say something bad about you? Dude, how many times have I come to this ring and 10,000 or more people tell me I suck and I don't belong, but you complaining about respect? Everything I got, everything I work for, everything I earn, but a guy like you just says, Otis, he's John Cena. They hand him everything, but you complaining about respect? Check this one out. This one's a real kicker, right? You're going to try as hard as you can to make it here. And if you ever fail, oh, no, it ain't your fault. It's my fault, right? Because I buried you. But you're talking about respect? Dude, you've been hot for like 6 months. I held this place down for well over a decade. But a guy like you can stand in this ring and call me a sorry excuse for a wrestler. Why? Because I didn't put time in on the indie scene? Here's a spoiler alert. I wasn't built for the indie scene. I was built for the WWE, for SmackDown Live, for the Royal Rumble, for moments like right here, right now.
Yeah, John has had... I'm sitting here talking about him like he's gone, but he has had and he is currently having a really great WWE career. He's got all this stuff in Hollywood that he's done. I loved seeing him on various like Psych and things like that, and just seeing him in some of these comedy shows is just absolutely hilarious, and his runs on Saturday Night Live were great. Thought they really were. All right, we are probably going to get out of here, folks. Coming up first or second week of April, we will be releasing episode 21 of Man Mics, which is WrestleMania 33, The Ultimate Thrill Ride. Do we have any predictions for WrestleMania?
Well, I know that match between Shaq and the Big Show is not going to happen. I'm hoping something miraculous will happen with Goldberg, but probably not. And Ryan's dead.
Yeah. Ryan, where are you? His mic died. Damn.
That's his prediction. Everybody dies. Till next time, folks. Till next time.
Yeah. All right, folks. We're going to get the heck out of here. You can find Ryan on Twitter at Nightbeat, all one word. You can find Mike at Birdman Dodd on Twitter and almost everywhere else. Head on over to geekcastradio.com, thisweekingeek.net. I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter, and we will see you next time for WrestleMania.
So... They're getting me in a mood, man, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to end it with a piece of advice. Next time we talk, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Because you're not the Undertaker, but if you press me again, you a dead man.
Until we say you can leave this ring. You wish you would be half the man that my husband is, but you're not. And you know what your problem is? Your ego. Yes, your ego. You are a control egomaniac freak. Oh, and you know what they say? bigger the ego, smaller the package. So, John Cena, tell me, you're all about respect, right? Well, respect this.
Oh, wow.
You just made the biggest mistake of your life.
Here comes Nikki Bella, the fearless one.
About to be some furniture moving up in here.
I don't think Marisa thought that through.
Hey, hey, Maurice. You mess with my man, I'm gonna break you, bitch. You hear me?
Wow, it's the real couples of WWE, and the heat is on.
Is it ever?
SmackDown Live, you never know what to expect.
What a way to start SmackDown Live here tonight.
All right, Ryan, where the hell are you?
Yeah, I think his mic died.
Yeah.
No, accidentally. There we go.
There we go.
All right. I accidentally unplugged it. I reached down because my iPod was being finicky, and I was trying to plug the USB in for it, and I grabbed the wrong cable and yanked it away. So my mic, like, shut off.
Oh, damn. That's
funny.
Let that
be a lesson, kids. Don't adjust your iPod in the middle of a show.
I am so putting this at the end for outtakes, the very end of the show.
Well, on the bright side, it made a lot of the listeners very happy when my mic died. So.
God.
So,
this might be the most popular episode.
You just made the list!
All clear.